Just thank you so much, everybody, for just entering in. Really, just really appreciate it. So Pastor Jeremy was originally going to preach today, but after we had such a beautiful time with the Lord last Sunday, the Lord really put it on my heart. There was just a lot that he wanted to say to us about that. And so I texted, I kept trying to let it go, be like, well, Pastor Jeremy's preaching. And finally on Wednesday, I was like, the Lord has a message for today, Wednesday, Sunday, can I take it? And he says, of course, of course, of course. So anyway, for those of you who weren't here last Sunday, the presence of the Lord, just as it is now, is just really, really, really thick and heavy. And, you know, we just had a wonderful time of worship, and everyone just really entered into the stream. And I believe that the Lord, I know that the Lord, it just felt like to me like there was a shift in us as a body. Like we came together as a body and really operated together as a body. And I just really feel like the Lord wanted to talk about what happened last week, why it happened, and where he wants to take us because of that. And so that's where I want to talk today. You know, Every Sunday we have pre-service prayer. It's at 9:15. We have it in the children's church. Everybody, anybody is welcome to come. So whoever's here at 9:15, we all go. So I say that to you because it's not like pastors go back there. It's anybody who wants to be here goes back there to pray. And so we just all pray together. And our prayer always is that Holy Spirit would have his way in this place. It's important when we come together, you know, yes, there's, you know, I've prepared a message or Pastor Jeremy's prepared a message or whatever, but Jesus has his way. Like that is what is supposed to happen. That's why we come together as a church. We don't come together for a message. If there is a message, we take that, right? That's what the Lord has for us. And when Pastor Jeremy and I both seek the Lord about what he wants for Sunday, so it's his message, it's not ours. But it's important that we come together to encounter him. You know, our motto for our church is encounter Christ, know Christ, live Christ. You cannot live Christ without encountering him and knowing him, right? That's the fruit comes from the encounter and the knowing. And so it's important that each one of us individually in our lives has that own personal relationship with him where we encounter him and we come to know him. But it's also, there's something special about us when we come together as a church body and we encounter him, because there's things he can do with us and as a church body that he can't necessarily do with us when we're alone, right? And not because, I mean, he's God, he can do anything, but there's a humility that he wants us to have in operating together. You know, there's a yieldedness that he wants us to have. He wants us to see how we can work together as a body and the different roles that we play. Otherwise, we'll think it's just all about me and him. And it's not. We're a body. And this is why I say to all of you, and you know, you've heard me say it so many times, not to make anyone feel guilty, but it's important for you to be at church because you carry a piece. Right? It's not the pastor coming in. I carry a piece. You all carry a piece. And if you're not here and you're the elbow, we're missing an elbow when you're not here. You know? And again, not to make anyone feel guilty, I want you to feel significant. You're significant in the body of Christ. Everybody has a part to play. And when you come, you bring your piece of the body, and we are able to operate at a fuller level because you're here, because you're important, because you're a part of the body. So so I wanted to just look at, just in the Bible, what happens when God shows up. You know, and so let's look here. I want to go to Acts chapter 1. And this is Jesus before he went, after he went to the cross, he spent time with the disciples. And then he talks to them about going to Jerusalem. And I know you're all very familiar with this, but he had them together. He said, he assembled together with them, the disciples, the apostles. He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So Jesus told them they needed to wait. I know you've all heard this, that you needed to wait until they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm having a hard time talking up here, folks. It's just like so heavy. Anyway, so he wanted them to wait until they got endued from power, with power from on high, right? He wanted them to wait for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But why? Because then they become witnesses to him. This is, our whole life is about being a witness to Jesus. Not just here when we're in church, but outside of, especially outside of church. Why do you think the country, the world is in the place that it's in? It's because people haven't been witnesses outside of church. Or the witnesses they have been haven't really reflected Christ, right? So we're called to be witnesses. And so we come together. We come together to be with each other, but we mostly come together for him. And it's for him to have his way in us, for us to become familiar with what does the Holy Spirit feel like? What does the Holy Spirit sound like? What does the Holy Spirit move like? I mean, hopefully each one of us in our private time is having those encounters, but when we come together corporately, there's also an anointing for us as a body to learn how to operate together in the Holy Spirit. Folks, I believe he wants to be able to do incredible signs and wonders and miracles. That's what I'm going to be talking about today. But he needs us. He's working in us because he's already doing it. We are cooperating. But he's taking us to be a place where he can operate in that way. And not, we don't pursue signs and wonders and miracles. We pursue him, and he takes care of the signs, wonders, and miracles, right? I just listen. I just know that on Sundays, Jesus is looking for churches to go to. And this is where I want him to feel like he's welcome. There's plenty of churches where he knows he's not welcome. But he needs to have a church where he feels welcome. And that's what we want, is a church where he is welcome to come and do whatever he wants to do for his glory. Not ours, but for his glory. Amen? Amen. So what happened? When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. That's really important. Because that's what I really believe the Lord has worked so hard to do in this church. When Randy and I first started the church, the Lord told us to start the church and told us to start it in our home. And our number, other than his presence, our next priority was that we would have a church where people could be in relationship with each other in safe relationships, where they could be transparent, they could be real, they could be unafraid, ashamed, and really build relationships. Like, we want relationships with people, but more than that, we want people to feel like this is family, like they belong, and that they can have a place of being honest and being transparent about what's going on in their life so that we can build each other up and encourage each other, edify, exhort. Of course, teaching them about who we are in Christ, our identity, the righteousness that we carry now in identity and all of that, that was our heart to build. And I believe part, you know, what happened last week when he, and what's happening every week when he moves, is that it's because there's this unity, because of, right, how are you going to know a body of Christ? By the love they have for one another. That's how you recognize the body of Christ. And so the love that people always come to us when they start coming to our church are like, it's amazing the love your people have for one another. See, that's being in one accord. The word one accord means being unanimous, having mutual consent, being in agreement, having group unity, having one mind and purpose. The disciples had an intellectual unanimity, an emotional rapport, and volitional agreement in the newly founded church. In each of its occurrences, this word shows a harmony leading to action. So it's not only to the unity that we have as a family, but it's the fact that we're all in unity in where we're going. That's what so amazes me. I'm so honored. You know, Randy and I talk about, and Jeremy and Beth, about how honored we are to be the pastors of such incredible followers of Christ. What we see in all of you is this passion to know Him. You're not satisfied with just coming to church on Sunday and checking off your to-do list. You're people who are hungry for Him. You want to know Him. You want to live an authentic Christian life. And that unity is what brings us together and allows Christ to move powerfully in here, because we're unified together and we're unified in our pursuit of Him. And that's why He can move, and that's why He'll be able to move in greater ways. So after they were in one accord, in one place, suddenly, now, you know, it says suddenly, but in the Bible, things never happen suddenly. Because there was praying and working out all this other stuff and everything that comes. So when it says suddenly, it's like, so even in your life, you know, when it says suddenly, it's never really a suddenly. There was a whole bunch of things that happened before there. But suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. They were sitting. They weren't standing, jumping around. They were all sitting. You can sit. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, we all look back on this and we know what was happening, but can you imagine being those people sitting in that room, and you're just sitting, praying in one accord, worshiping the Lord? He told you to wait till power comes on high, and all of a sudden, and I believe what happened, that sound was like a sonic boom of the Holy Ghost breaking through the atmosphere of this earth. Just exploded in. And He comes in, and all of a sudden they're looking around, they're like, "You got tongues of fire on your head. You got tongues of fire. I got tongues of fire on my head." Right? So I'm just saying this to say it's not like this is what they were expecting. When the Holy Spirit shows up, He's not going to fill your expectations. They were not expecting that. And all of a sudden, this strange language comes out of their mouth. So when the Holy Spirit shows up, it doesn't look like we always want it to. Right? But we have to. So this is what I'm saying, is we need to just let Him have His way. Because all of a sudden, now they're speaking in tongues, right? They've got fire on their head. There's a sonic boom, right? And so now, and this is Pentecost, so there's Jews from all over the area, from other countries that have come to show up for Pentecost, right? So, and they speak different languages. So here it says, and there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused. Isn't that amazing that when the Holy Spirit shows up, people come together and they can be confused? Right? In other words, that doesn't always make sense, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. So what's happening is there's people from all these different countries, and the disciples, apostles, are praying in tongues, but the people are hearing it as though they're speaking in their own native language. It says, then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these Galileans?" So they're like, wait a second, these are Galileans, but they're praying and I'm hearing it as though they're speaking Greek or Spanish. I don't know whatever languages they're there, but they're in their own languages. So they're amazed and marveled at this. And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwellers in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, I can't pronounce all these things. We hear them, so at the end, we hear them speaking our own tongues, the wonderful works of God. So they're hearing it in their own language, and what they're hearing, the disciples, the apostles, those baptized in the Holy Spirit, they're all hearing them speak the wonderful works of God. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "Whatever could this mean?" So when the Holy Spirit shows up, people are amazed and perplexed. Others mocking said, "They're full of new wine." So what does that mean? That means when the Holy Spirit shows up, there are some people that will be amazed and they will hear and see the wonderful works of God. But there are some people who will see the same thing and say, those people are drunk. You know, one question that comes up, you know, when you see the Holy Spirit moving powerfully is, what are people going to think? Well, it really depends upon their perspective. Because they can sit in this service when the Holy Spirit moves, and they can either see the wonderful works of God, or they can think that people aren't drunk. So we can't let that stop us from yielding to the Holy Spirit. Because it's not about us. It's about us yielding to Him, and people will see it the way they see it. And the thing is, I mean, sometimes people, I've been in services where people are entering in and I don't feel anything. So you can't, so if you're in that place and maybe you don't feel anything and you see it going around, just hang in there a while. Just trust the people that you're with, that you see, if you trust the people you're with and you see that they're really experiencing the Holy Spirit and maybe you're not experiencing anything, just hang in there. Just hang in there and let the Holy Spirit keep working, you know, because everybody's in a different place. It's so important to me that as we move on and we move into these places of letting the Holy Spirit move, I see people become judgmental. Well, they must not be feeling it, or they must. No. We respect every single person wherever they're at in their journey. And if the Lord tells you to sit in your chair the whole time, you sit in your chair. If the Lord tells you to jump around and run around the room, then you jump up and you run around the room. But we will not compare ourselves among ourselves. Each person is on a personal journey with the Lord, and we honor where each person is at. Amen? Amen. Amen. That is so, so, so important to me, because that's how stuff, garbage starts happening in a church. And then everyone tries to look like the way you're supposed to look. The only way you're supposed to look is how Jesus tells you to look, whatever package that is. You know? And so whatever it is, if He tells you to fall on your face, lay on the floor, stand on your head, sit in your chair, you just be faithful to that. Be faithful to that. And we, you know what? When the Holy Spirit is moving, we shouldn't be looking at each other anyway. We should be looking at Jesus. So just be faithful to what's going on in your own heart, in your own relationship with Him, and let Him work wherever you're at. Because wherever you're at is perfect for Him. And He will get you where He wants you to go. And for every single person, it looks different. And that's okay. That's absolutely okay. Where's my pointer? Okay, so the disciples are all filled with the Holy Spirit, right? And some people are looking at them and saying, listen, look at the wonderful works of God. And some people are looking and saying, they're all drunk. And Peter says, it's 9:00 in the morning. How could we be drunk? He obviously had never met college students. But anyway. So then we have Peter and John they healed a man, and that really offended the religious people, and they take him and put him in prison, and so the whole story, whatever, they get released from prison, but they were told they could not preach in the name of Jesus. Remember this story in Acts, right? So all the disciples come together, and let's look at Acts 4, 29 through 31. So they're praying to the Lord. And they say, Lord, look on the threats of the religious people, and grant to your servants, the apostles, that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. So it's, you know, people say, well, once you're filled with the Holy Spirit, that's it. Well, you know what? There's dimensions to God. that we can't even begin to say. And do we have the fullness of God? Yes. And do we have the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Yes. But God can do greater things. And so here there are these disciples, these apostles, and they pray to the Lord, and the Holy Spirit comes on them, and what happens? The whole building shakes. Are we willing to let our building shake? I mean, this is, I just feel like the Lord's saying that we have to get outside boxes. We have to stop limiting him. We need to allow him to move in powerful ways. So are we willing to come together and just be so caught up in him that the whole building would shake? Amen. Right? We need to be willing to go there. And it says, it talks about the fact that they want signs and wonders may be done. Signs and wonders follow the preaching of the gospel. The word wonders, it's the science that deals with unexplainable phenomena. It denotes extraordinary occurrences, supernatural prodigies, omens, portents, unusual manifestations, miraculous incidents, portending the future rather than the past, and acts that are so unusual they cause the observer to marvel or be in awe. This word is always in plural, associated with signs. Signs and wonders are a perfect balance for touching man's intellect, emotions, and will. So signs and wonders are to show up and to happen when the Holy Spirit is present. And again, we don't pursue those, but we don't want to squash them. We don't want to limit God and keep that from happening. So we need to be willing to say, Lord, you come into these places and you let your signs and your wonders and your miracles just flow. Just flow, Lord. Whatever way you want to, just flow. Because that's what he wants to do. You know, when Jesus was crucified, if you remember, there was a blood moon. The rocks shook and were split open. Dead people came up out of graves and went into Jerusalem, right? And what happened? The Romans who crucified him were like, oh my gosh, we must have crucified the Son of God. Why? Because signs and wonders showed up. Signs and wonders show people that we have a living God. I'm reading the biography of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And I don't know if you know him, but he was a Lutheran minister who came up against Hitler and died as a martyr. But the reason why, I mean, it's so amazing what happened in Germany, but one of the main problems was their theological schools were talking about the fact that the miraculous didn't happen, that Mary wasn't really a virgin, that Jesus didn't really rise from the dead. I mean, they took all the essentials of what we believe, of what we know to be true, and all the signs and wonders and everything, and they just theologized them right out of the Lutheran church. Why do you think people don't see Jesus? Because we have churches that are dead. And that's one of the things that allowed Hitler to come in power. Because the church wasn't alive. We are called to be alive. We are called to be demonstrating the gospel. We are called to be showing people signs and wonders and miracles. Not for the purpose of that, but for the purpose of glorifying God and showing people who he really is and the power that he is. I mean, people should be lined up outside our door to get in here. That's if the gospel's being preached and we're operating as we're supposed to be operating, our shadows should be healing people, our clothing should be healing people, and people should be lined up outside that door saying, I want in. Amen? Amen? You know? I believe with all my heart that there's revival coming to this whole country, and we are a piece of that. But if we are going to be a piece of that, we need to get outside of, well, I come to church at 10, and then at 10:15 we move on to this, and at this time we do this. We can't do that. We can't do that. We got to come in here with the purpose of, Lord, have your way. And whatever that looks like, that's fine. You know? And we each play a part. I'm not here to watch the pastor or watch three other people and the pastor carry the anointing. I'm here to get in the flow and help roll with it. Right? Because I got a piece. I got a part. I play a part in this. Amen. We're not a spectator sport. Let's look at David. He's a perfect example of what we're talking about. I talked about this 2 weeks ago in the temple of David, that really is the prototype for Burn 24/7. In that they were he didn't have an altar. I mean, he had an altar that he had the Ark of the Covenant on, but he didn't have any of the things you're supposed to have. He just had a tent, and for 24/7 they had worship going on, right? Pardon me? Yeah, there was no sacrifices. There was no sacrifices. So now when he got the ark and he was bringing it to Jerusalem before that, so 2 Samuel 6:12, it says, "Now it was told King David, saying, 'The Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the ark of God.' So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with gladness." Verse 13. Excuse me. "And so it was, when those bearing the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, that he sacrificed oxen and fatted sheep. Then David danced before the Lord with all his might." I love that. He wasn't dancing in front of anybody but the Lord. He was dancing before the Lord with all his might. "And David was wearing a linen ephod." So he wasn't wearing his kingly robes. He was just wearing this little linen ephod. "So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of a trumpet." So it wasn't this little, you know, very quiet little ceremony. It was shouting and the sound of a trumpet. Verse 16. "Now as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looking through a window and saw King David leaping and whirling before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart." So here he is leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she looks out and she despises him in her heart. And so after this, David goes ahead and he blesses the other families of Israel, and they did a few more sacrifices. And then in verse 20, it says, "David returned to bless his household. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, 'How glorious was the king of Israel today, uncovering himself today in the eyes of the maids and of his servants, as one of the base fellows shamelessly uncovers himself.'" So basically she's saying to him, you know, you took off your kingly robes, you're just wearing this little linen ephod, and you're just bouncing around and celebrating like a common man. That's what she means, that word base fellows means. You're just like you're a commoner. And how much you degraded yourself to do that. And so David hits below the belt. "So David said to Michal, 'It was before the Lord who chose me instead of your father and all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord over Israel. Therefore, I will play music before the Lord, and I will be even more undignified than this, and will be humble in my own sight. But as for the maidservants of whom you have spoken, by them I will be held in honor.' Therefore, Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no children to the day of her death." So here he is. He's like, listen, I'm a king, but I have a relationship with the living God, and I will take off my kingly robes. I will dance before him. I will worship him. I'm not dancing before all of Israel. I'm dancing before the Lord. That's who I'm dancing before. "And I'll be even more undignified than this. I don't care what it looks like to anybody else. I will be more undignified than this. And I will be humble in my own sight." In other words, I'm going to bow before the Lord and I'm going to do whatever he wants me to do. Right? But she, because she despised him in her heart, where did she end up? She ended up being fruitless. She couldn't bear children. And we don't know if it's because David didn't go into her to have a relationship with her, or if the Lord closed her womb. Right? But for us, it's the thing that if we are undignified before the Lord and other people judge us, that's not for us to change because of that. That's between them and the Lord. And I pray that he doesn't close their womb or they become unfruitful. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying that what people say cannot change what we do in our relationship with the Lord. It doesn't matter what it looks like. We need to be willing to be undignified. That's what I was talking about. I would love when we have a church. Maybe we'll have, like, when you walk in the door, it'll say, "The Church of the Undignified." then underneath it'll say, all to the glory of God. Amen? That way we'll set them up before they even come into the sanctuary. They'll know what to expect. But we'll keep our clothes on. Yes, we will keep our clothes on. You know, even back then, it wasn't typically the men that would dance. The fact that that David was even dancing, it was usually the women that would dance before the Lord. So the fact that David was dancing was a big deal. And certainly the fact that he was dancing with less than his kingly robes on, right? So we have to go beyond what will people think. You know, Jesus, it never motivated Jesus. He preached, eat my flesh and drink my blood. And a lot of people left him. A lot of people left him. Because he wasn't here. Fear of man had no place in his life. He had a fear of the Lord. He had a fear of the Lord. And the good fear, the reverential fear. He knew God. He knew who God was. He had a personal relationship with the Lord. And so he never wanted to compromise that. And so that's the place that the Lord wants us all to be. Is that we are faithful to him, to what he's called us to yield to him in whatever way he asks us to yield as individuals and as a church body as well. So I wanted to talk a little bit about what happened that Sunday, because kind of what I've talked to you already is one is that you need to understand when the presence of the Lord comes and we're together as a corporate body, the anointing, it's not something that a pastor can carry alone. It's not meant for a pastor to carry alone. It's meant for us as a church body to carry. And so as people enter in, it allows that presence to work more powerfully and powerfully. If you saw when we were speaking, I was talking, and every time I'm up here, I'm always asking the Lord, where do you want to go? Where do you want to go? Where do you want to go? Right? And so the previous week, the presence was really strong, but I was like, what do you want me to do? And he just said to me, teach. And so that's what I did. I taught because that's what the Lord wanted, right? And so then last week, it was like, where do you want me to go? And I had already had an inkling before that Sunday that I wasn't going to teach my message. I had a message ready, but I already had a feeling like it was never going to get there. So I had that premonition, but it was just sitting here with him. And then as you all started entering in more and more, and as I'm entering in, I could see that we could just go. And then all of a sudden, it was Giselle, I think, she said, she's like, he's not done yet. And it was like, oh yeah, that's what I was feeling too. So she was confirming for me that he wasn't done. You need to understand that when you are operating, when you're hearing from the Lord and you speak out, that's helping me. You know what I'm saying? Like when you have a word, that's helping me to help direct things. And then if you notice, like Roshana got up and she gave a word about the Lord knocking down a wall, right? And then so we started speaking that over. Then Melody got up and she talked about God freeing us from shame. And then the minute she said shame, I felt like the Lord was saying, people don't understand what shame is. And so I redefined it. It was like anytime you're allowing your past to define you outside of Christ, you're in shame. Right? If you have anything in your past that you're allowing to say, this is who I am, and it's not Christ, it's shame. And so I was saying that everybody to some extent could probably stand up because we all have things that we're still seeing ourselves through from our past. And so when people, and Alicia gave up and came in and gave a word, Nancy gave a word. So as you are all yielding to the Lord and speaking what he's saying to you, the Holy Spirit is moving. And that's what I love so much because I don't want it to be about who's standing here. I want to operate as a body and you all to see the part that you play and that the Holy Spirit can dance among all of us. And that's when the fullness of what he wants to do happens. Because everybody has a piece. So it's so important that if you feel like he's giving you a word or you feel like that, you know, I mean, we have Randy and Jeremy to run things by, you know, things, but it's just, you just come and share, speak it out, whatever. Just let him flow. And then you see the whole piece of the puzzle of what he's trying to do comes together. He doesn't give it to one person. If he gave it to one person, we'd be in pride. The only person who could handle having all of it was Jesus. The rest of us just need a little peace. Amen? The one thing that came out was, and this is what I felt like the Lord was saying, enlarge the place of your tent. Let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. For you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. And I felt like the picture the Lord gave me as we were together was like a bridal tent that he came last week and he brought over us. And it's like different people were standing in different places, and it's like they were the stakes. And they were holding the bridal tent in place. And then the Lord was going around, and like I said, I saw him kissing people on the forehead, and if you lifted your head, he would kiss you on the lips, but it was just him going around. And I don't know, I mean, I know Teresa shared with me this morning that she just started weeping because she just felt like the Holy Spirit just came and just gave her a great big hug. Maybe he gave you a great big hug. I don't know, but it was just, for each person, it's different. And maybe you didn't feel anything, and that's fine too. Holy Spirit's still working. So it's just, but that's the sense I got, that this big tent, bridal tent that was over us, and he, our bridegroom, was going around and ministering to each person individually as they needed. And that was his intimate time with every single one of us. And just ministering to everyone. And so that's what we need to do. Like I've said so many times, one whisper from the Holy Spirit can break strongholds that you've been dealing with for 60 years. You know? I mean, one word from God can just break things in us. And so yes, the word's important, and ministering and reading the word and spending time. But man, the breath of the Holy Spirit can change things like that. And so we need to yield to him and allow him to have his way. You know, this is why in this church, you know, when we first started the church in our home, we would have this beautiful time of worship, and then we'd have announcements. And it's just like, here, ah, and then it's crash. You know, and all of a sudden you're in this mental, okay, next Sunday this is happening, and did I sign up for the barbecue, and what am I going to bring? And I mean, it's like, really? And finally I just said to Randy, we're stopping that. We're having announcements at the beginning, and then we're going into the worship, and then we'll go into the store, just see what he wants to do. And I know why pastors do it, because not everybody shows up till worship's over with, right? But you know what? I just can't go there. Like, we have a church calendar, we have a church app, we have emails, we have printed announcements there, and we do them before the service, and we have them on slide projectors, right? Like, if you can't get the announcements, I'm just sorry. Listen to the Holy Spirit better. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're not going to stop the service to make sure everybody gets the announcements. If you want the announcements, you'll get them. But we're going to flow. We're going to do announcements, yes, but we're going to flow. And that's the whole reason why after worship, we sit in silence. And we just kind of let Holy Spirit do what he wants to do. And sometimes it's going to be telling me to come up or Jeremy to come up and give the message. And sometimes it's going to be just sit in quiet. And sometimes it's going to get rowdy and we're going to run around the room. I don't know, whatever what he wants to do. That's what we're committed to. We're committed to allowing Holy Spirit to have his way. And listen, we're all learning. We're all learning. If you feel like we're doing something and we're missing something, you have perfect liberty to come up and talk to myself, Pastor Randy, Pastor Jeremy, and say, listen, you know, maybe we missed it here. We're learning. We're growing. We're going to make mistakes. It's okay. It's okay. So we all learn together and we all grow together. You know, we say that we want freedom, but freedom will take you out of your comfort zone. Because the number one person God has to free you from is you. I mean, it's me. He needs to be free. I mean, it's true of all of us. He needs to free us from him. And there's, you know, I know I shared this with some of you, but a while ago I had someone come up to me and tell me that I needed to tone down my worship, my expressive worship. Because new people might get offended and not come back to the church if they saw my worship. And I was like, well, then that means this isn't their church. And I'm not their pastor. I mean, you know, there's so many programs out there on how to build churches. I mean, as a pastor, I get all these emails. Oh, this is the 10 steps and the 4 ways and the 3 methods. And, you know, and how to retain people once they come and all the other stuff. And I just don't want to go there. Because I only want people in the church that God has told to be here. And if God's told you to be in another church, then you need to be in another church. And it's not about growing numbers, it's about growing people. And it's about being authentic to what he's called us to do. And so if that means we have 30 people for the next 20 years, I'm fine with that. It doesn't matter. The one thing you don't want is someone in your church that doesn't belong there. You know how much strife and division that can cause? Right? And again, I'm not saying in a prideful way. I'm just saying that we need to be authentic to what God has called us to. And if someone comes in here and this doesn't feel comfortable for them or whatever, then you grow and you hope and you work with people. But then eventually, if that's not the place, then maybe this isn't the place for them. That's okay. When this person said this to me, I said to them, if I go that direction, I'll stop preaching about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Right? I mean, so what are we going to do to keep people? That's what we have theologians. That's what's happened to Harvard and all the other great theological places, is they don't want to offend anybody, so now Jesus is just this nice man who lived and died on the cross. He isn't the Son of God anymore. He isn't born of a virgin. He didn't walk in miracles. He didn't raise from the dead. And if we start watering down the message to retain people, then we have totally missed what God has called us to. And I'd rather not have a church. I'd rather not have a church. We will preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We will preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know? I mean, that's it. That's it. And if you're offended, this isn't your church. There's churches you can go to that won't offend you. Plenty of them. You know, there's a number of scriptures the Lord has given to me for us as a church. And I meditate on them almost every single day. And a number of them, it talks about us as a body. And some of them are really personal, but this one I wanted to share with you. It says, the Lord said to me, that's not the scripture. Okay, that's not the scripture. I communicated these to Amy while we were away. It was in Isaiah. Hold on. I'm glad I looked, because you would have been really perplexed. You don't have to eat any scrolls today. Where is it? Hold on a second. Okay, it's Isaiah 8:1. No? Okay, I'll read it to you. So it says, Here am I, and the children who the Lord has given me. We are for signs and wonders in Israel, from the Lord of hosts who dwells in Mount Zion. So here am I and the children the Lord has given to me. We are for signs and wonders in Israel. I don't know. I thought it was Isaiah 8:1, but it's not. So I'll have to look it up. But here's the thing, is that we as a church body are for signs and wonders. And I believe, like I said, revival's coming. And we are a part of that. And so signs and wonders are going to operate. You know, when you look at Brownsville, when you look at Toronto, when you look at the major moves of God, it was messy. So it doesn't mean that it's going to be all neat and organized. It could be messy at times. But we have to be willing to allow that to happen. We have to be willing to allow, did you find it? Isaiah 8:18. We have to be willing to allow the Holy Spirit move in the way he wants to. We need to be willing to go outside of our boxes. We need to be willing to do what he commands us to do. We need to be willing to flow with him. Let me tell you that this is what each one of us truly wants. Our heart's desire will be fulfilled when we know we are living a life completely yielded to Christ. In our daily walk with him, in our intimate times with him, that we're completely yielded to him. That's what we were created for. And this is a place we get to practice. And we get practice together in a safe place. When we started the worship and release nights, that was one of our purposes, was a way on Sunday nights for people to come together in a smaller group, because we knew that people weren't necessarily comfortable flowing. So we started Sunday nights for us to maybe a smaller group to start feeling comfortable, so we could get that fire burning and then take that spark and bring it over here. And the Sunday before that last Sunday, we had a powerful, powerful worship and release night. Like it was really amazing. And then it's like that spark jumped and came in here. Right? And that's what we want, to allow that to flow. And I the most important thing for you to know is that you all play a part. When the Holy Spirit comes on you and if he gives you a word, or he gives you an impression, or wants you to do something, I mean, do it. Feel free in this place. If you get uncomfortable about anything, come talk to us. Come talk to us. And let's walk through it. Like I said, we're all learning. But I believe what happened last Sunday was a shift, because we operated as a body in a deeper way than we ever had before. And I believe there's more coming. There is more coming. And you are all a part of it. So don't minimize. It's not a spectator sport. Come, be a part, get in the river, flow. And let's see what God can do as we encounter him. We come to know him, and then we can live him. Amen? Amen? So, Lord, I just thank you so much for your presence here. Lord, we just honor you. And, Lord, our goal here is to just worship you abandonedly, to just follow your leading, to just offer everything up to you, Lord. We are just so grateful. So just have your way, not only in this place, but in our lives. Thank you, Lord, so much for bringing us together as a body. We are grateful, Lord, for every person here and the part that they bring to this time of fellowship. Lord, we just love you. May everything we do please you, Jesus, because you are so worthy to be pleased, and you're so easy to please. You're so easy to please. We have the privilege of adoring you, and that pleases you as you worship and sing over us, Lord. We just love you. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.